Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Hey, yes.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific. It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Get it twisted.
On blogtalkradio.com.
And good morning, everyone, and welcome to a Sub-Zero Sunday. Or at least that's the way it feels. Sub-Zero Sunday right here on the Ron Kelly Show, presented by BurkheadPromotions.com. Thank you so much for joining me, ladies and gentlemen. I really, really appreciate you taking time out from your busy Sunday morning to partake of the Ron Kelly Show. So thank you so much for that. Once again, the Ron Kelly Show, powered by BurkheadPromotions.com this morning. Thank you so much. It's BIRKETT.com. That's BIRKETT Promotions.com. Talk about that a little bit more a little bit later on in the program. But right now, let me welcome my co-host, the unflappable one I like to call him. He goes by the name of Lamont Gates. Good morning, Lamont. How are you?
How you doing, Ron? I'm here. Thanks.
Doing well, Lamont. Oh, boy. You know, what happened with the global warming? I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm starting to side with the kook fringe Republicans now who have denied global warming for so many years now because, I mean, it's just absolutely frostbitten in the Northeast and all around the country in many places where ordinarily it wouldn't be so cold right now, but it's absolutely freezing. In places that traditionally wouldn't be so cold, in Florida and Texas and so on, Lamont. So I don't know. I'm gonna side with the Rush Limbaughs and the cool fringe Republicans because I can't see where there's any type of warming going on in the United States right now.
Well, that's not a you can't look at winter and say, well, it was cold winter, so where's global warming? It's supposed to be cold in the winter. And there's different reasons why, you know, and there's different reasons why certain Arctic airs come in and gets pushed into our area. So you can't really look at that and say, well, global warming's not happening. We still have ice caps melting. We still have a rise in temperature and water. So, you know, those things are basically, you know, variables that we can look at to say that there is substantial or some amount of evidence to say that there is a warming happening. But, you know, summer will be right around the corner. I'm pretty sure when those temperatures hit 100 degrees, people start complaining, hey, there's global warming. So it's kind of like with people and global warming and temperature, it's the moment that you're living in pretty much is how they like to explain things.
I think you're right, Lamont. You know, but the general the general train of thought. But those of us who are not meteorologists would think that okay, if the Earth is warming up, then that should mean that temperatures, even in the wintertime, shouldn't be as cold as they have been. That's the general consensus. But I guess you know we're frightfully wrong. And you're right that there are. There are some issues going on, with the polar ice caps melting and the rivers rising and et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, everybody, thank you so much. Thank you, Lamont, for chiming in with us this morning. Everybody, it's the phone over here, actually, is 347-426-3214. That's 347-426-3214. If you'd like to partake of the program, Ron Kelly Show featuring Lamont Gates, you can do that. Right now, Twitter is R. Kelly SR, and the Ron Kelly Show actually is the other handle for this too. On Twitter, if you want to tweet something at us, I'll be monitoring the Twitter feed this morning, and also Facebook is the Ron Kelly Show as well. And the official website of the Ron Kelly Show is www.theronkellyshow.com. Just trying to fight back from a very nasty cold I had earlier this week. Was down a couple days, but feeling much better. Thank the Lord. All right, Lamont, so the Paris bombing, well, not the bombing, but the hostage taking, big story this week. Matter of fact, the biggest story, you know, in this 24-hour news cycle world we live in, you know, there was just no getting away from it with what happened with the terrorist bombing. But you pointed out something that I thought that was interesting this morning. Let's talk about that a little bit, Lamont. You pointed out something that I didn't even pick up on that was very interesting in regards to the Paris terrorism situation.
Oh, yes. Well, there's a number of things going on with this. There are, first and foremost, we have about 17 people killed. We had a raid on a prominent newspaper or media outlet over there, to which these particular groups of men or groups of people, this terrorist organization, believed should have been massacred for the fact that they made an image of their prophet. As you know, there is no such reasoning with them when an image of their prophet Muhammad is made. And we also had a situation where Delhi was ransacked by some terrorists. And this was it wasn't an average Delhi. It was a Jewish Delhi, a kosher Delhi, sparking the idea that, you know, Muslims are going after Jews and, you know, that whole that whole conflict between them. But there's a number of a myriad of problems here going on. A lot of questions can be raised about the entire situation. And the first and foremost thing is, and this is a big question that's going around social media, and it pertains to liberty versus safety. For example, the media outlet that put forth the image of the Prophet Muhammad, did they have a right to do it? Or should they have respected Islam, quote-unquote, and knowing that there are terrorists out there who get superly offended by this and are overly sensitive about it and just may attack, which they did in this case. So I think we should start with the question of liberty versus safety. Should the newspaper have did this and put all their employees in jeopardy, or should they have not put forth their free speech or freedom of press in order to keep their employees safe? I think that's the big question that's going on today.
Well, and the other thing, too, Lamont, is, okay, not that, not with saying, I was watching Lawrence O'Donnell, the last word of Lawrence O'Donnell. He got into a verbal fisticuffs with a noted Jewish attorney. And they would have the conversation. And now, what happened at the end of the day was, prior to that, he interviewed someone from the Arab League. And now, what they were talking about was that, and I understand what you're saying about the people putting themselves in jeopardy, but the point that Lawrence O'Donnell was making was that when Catholicism and Buddhism and all these other religions, Lamont, are lampooned regularly as well. It's not just about the Arabs, but, you know, there's no Catholics going around killing people because, you know, they got PO'd because of a comic. Buddhists, transcendental meditation, whatever the case may be, these people are not going around killing people. So, it's just the Arabs. I mean, it's just not the Arabs, but it's just
the radical
Islamists that are doing this. So that's the other side of the coin. I mean, the other people are not, the other folks are handling it. So why can't the radicals handle it? I mean, you know, the people in France, they have a right to lampoon, if they choose to. I mean, does everybody just hide behind their typewriters, Lamont, because these people are going to be PO'd about what happened?
I'm not saying that they should be hiding behind their typewriters, but you just raised an interesting point. You said, why do the radical Muslims do this? Because they're radical, and you already know they're radical. So why incite something is what I'm saying. Yeah, you know, Catholics and Protestants and other Buddhists and so on and so forth, they're not going to attack you for what you're putting out media-wise. But if you already know that there is a faction out there that not only has threatened you constantly, time after time, and in this particular case made good on their threats, why continue to do it? So that's the question of liberty versus safety. At what point do we draw the line and go, you know what, if we put this out, these guys are radical enough to come in here and do something, but if we not put it out, we can possibly save some lives here. It's you know, I don't know. I like to deal in the realm of common sense, you know, especially in a country like France where you know these people. Their intelligence isn't as good as American intelligence, and when it comes to thwarting those types of terror plots and terror plans, clearly here, from what I understand, one news report said that cops had always surrounded that news media outlet, but on this particular day, there were no cops, and these guys easily came in here and did what they had to do. So that's the issue and the question that I'm raising here. At what point do you draw the line and say, we know there are crazies out there, so let's not put our people in jeopardy?
Well, you know, you make an excellent point, Lamont. It's just like, you know, not going to certain neighborhoods. You know, there's neighborhoods, you know, plenty of them in the United States, good old USA, where you just can't drive through without having a elevated chance of getting carjacked, for example. So I guess it's kind of like the same. You just don't go into those neighborhoods. And for those folks who lampoon Islam, maybe they shouldn't. You're right that maybe they shouldn't do it. But now, and the other, my question, Lamont, is what's the point? You know what I mean? What's the point? I mean, what are those folks, you know, those people in those newspapers, the magazine, whatever the case was, what do they gain from making fun of Islam? I mean, what's the bottom line here?
It's just like any other news media outlet or reality show per se that gains ratings, and from ratings you gain more money. Let's face it. You know, money is the key thing that keeps an entire company or business going. And if you can do something controversial enough, I don't have to tell you, you know, you get more media, you get more attention from the public that you're trying to address, and that brings in more sales, which brings in more money. So, you know, there's probably a bigger picture here. Not only can they claim liberty and freedom of press, but they can also say, we've made an abundant of money off of this, so let's continue to keep doing this. These people know that if you draw any image of the Prophet Muhammad, you can't tell me they don't know. There's constant threats and constant attacks that have been led by radical Islam. It's on the very same topic. Remember the cartoonist years ago who was killed right in the streets for drawing an image of the Prophet Muhammad? These people already know what that's going to do to these radical militants. Why continue to do it? Why do they do it? Because, let's face it, it's media attention, it's controversy, and controversy sells.
Yeah, and controversy kills, evidently, because of the end result of all of this. Yeah, controversy does kill. You know, but I just, you know, taking it a little bit further, Lamont, I just don't get the whole, I mean, is this the cottage industry, for example? Because I don't know of many, media outlets in the United States, for example, that primarily lampoons other religions as a business. I can't think of anything, you know, maybe I could do a little research, might be able to find something, but I just don't get it why they, you know, I mean, I understand the business end, but there's got to be something else better to write about than or to make fun of than just Islam. And this particular publication is notorious for it. And I mean, and as you said, why keep, you know, taking the chance of, you know, because there's no such thing as, the only person that's totally protected is the president, and even he, there might be a few holes in his, you know, a few chinks in his armor as you know, people jumping over the White House fence and all. So, you know, why is it so important, you know, to lampoon Islam? That's the part that I'm trying to wrap my head around. Why is that so important? Because, you know, I just don't get it, Lamont.
I think the answer is what I just said. You know, it stirs controversy, which brings in more sales, which brings in more revenue. So the main thing to look at here, though, is how can France stop this? You know, where does this end? Can they stop this radicalism? I mean, because ISIS, as you know, oversees Syria, Iraq. They are recruiting people at a large amount, at a large, a rapid pace, so it seems, according to the various media outlets and publications. And they've got people from all races, they've got people from all from different sexes, and they've got even children involved with them. So what the media is calling this is a cell operation, okay, a sleeping cell operation, to the point where you don't know who's a terrorist on those French streets. You don't know who's a terrorist here in the United States, but these things happen more frequently overseas because, as I stated before, U.S. intelligence is much greater. And so this is why I thank God for organizations like the NSA that people tried to bash for quote-unquote recording or tapping into people's privacies, per se, but it's done in the name of safety. And if the French had the exact same intelligence we had, quite possibly they can thwart these terror plots. So a question of where does this end? Can it end? You know, can it stop? I know President Obama said he would lend a hand to the French authorities, to which, you know, one of the women in the Delhi massacre, I know, escaped. They said she is probably on her way to Turkey as we speak. But this is, you know, this is something that's just not going to end anytime soon.
No, absolutely, it's not, Lamont. And you know, and you made a reference to the NSA. And you know, I've asked this question as many times on the Ron Kelly Show, featuring Lamont Gates. I've asked the question: would you, you know, are you okay giving up some of your privacy, you know, for sake of safety? You know, and I couldn't get many people. I didn't hear a whole lot of. You know, I didn't hear a whole lot of back talk against it. You know what I mean? Because I, hey, look, if peeping into other people's emails and such, if for example, for the United States to be invasive into some of, you know, if it's going to save New York from not getting nuked, then go right ahead. You know, I don't have a problem with it. You know, but some folks do. There are a lot of people who do have a problem with face recognition technology and cameras everywhere, and you know, Facebook being peeped into your private life through Facebook, et cetera, et cetera. But I personally, Lamont, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, if it's going to save us from getting blown to smithereens, I don't have a problem with the government being, you know, a little, you know, peeking behind the curtain, so to speak. I really don't have a problem with it.
Well, then you're a man who upholds safety a little more than what we call liberty. And to me, that's the common sense choice. That's exactly what we, you know, what we can say about France and the newspaper outlet that, like you said, lampooned Islam. You know, is it about this freedom of press, or is it about safety when you know what you say or what you draw can bring in these particular attacks? So, you know, we're going to have to look at this closely, because if this is a sleeping cell case, we've had incidents right here in the United States recently and in recent weeks where cops are now being attacked because apparently there's a signal going out to these sleeper cells saying, you know, target police, target government. And so these people have no quimmers about doing such. You know, they're brainwashed to the point of, if I can go out and take out a police officer in the name of Islam, I'm going to do it. So this is just not a French thing overall. I think it's a universal world thing. Over in Africa, we got the Boko Haram situation going on in Nigeria. I mean, it's becoming a worldwide thing. So programs such as the NSA that look into this thoroughly, especially in thwarting these terror plots, they get my okay as well.
Yeah, because I'm sure they've, you know, it's been 14 years since 9/11, and, you know, through the grace of God and small miracles here and there, outside of Boston Marathon, there hasn't been any significant, I should say, terror attacks against the United States of America, with this country being just completely wide open in regards to, you know, freedom of speech, religion, you know, whether you can protest or not, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We have so many different, you know, we have a constitution far and away different than any other country on this planet. And we're just wide open. It's just a miracle that you know, that nothing is happening. You know, and it's not so much about countries anymore, Lamont. It's about these sleeper cells, as you alluded to, you know, some of these lone wolves, as they've been termed, where they just go out and just do, you know, those are the most, that's the most scary prospect of all of this, for the lone wolves. The person might even live next door to you. And you're right that we do have, you know, typical folks right from here, right here in the United States of America who are migrating overseas and joining ISIS. I mean, just regular Americans, and it just boggles the mind. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about this, and we'll talk about the NAACP situation and the comparisons that are being made to the Paris bombing. Did the NAACP lose out to Paris because of A, B, or C? We'll take a break. We'll come right back with more. It's the Ron Kelly Show featuring Lamont Gates. And it's on blogtalkradio.com.
Now, back with more.
Are
more,
you ready?
More of the fastest growing the Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Some statistics are surprising, some are unbelievable, and some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%, and that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Now, back with more of the fastest-growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show.
Absolutely, yes, indeed. It's the Ron Kelly Show with Lamont Gates right here on blogtalkradio.com every Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Be here or be square. The Ron Kelly Show featuring the unflappable one, I like to call him. It goes by the name of Lamont Gates. All right, the FBI, Lamont, has released a sketch of a person of interest connected with an explosion Tuesday outside of an NAACP office in Colorado Springs. Now, the suspect was previously described by the FBI as a white man. Interesting, in his 40s and balding. The FBI and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives, I guess they added that on in the last few years, is offering a $10,000 reward for information that leads to the man who the FBI believes had something to do with the detonation of an improvised explosive device. Now, the device was next to a gas can and against the exterior wall of a building that houses the NAACP Colorado Springs chapter. Now, the FBI has not yet determined whether the civil rights organization was the target of the explosion. Duh. But the president of the local NAACP chapter, Mr. Henry Allen Jr., suggested that he thinks it may have been. Apparently, we have the attention of someone that knows they're working for civil rights for all, he said. Now, that is making some people uncomfortable. So, therefore, they feel the need to target us. No one was injured. Now, Lamont, we've talked about this, and the there's all types of comparisons being made to the the importance of the Paris hostage taking situations compared to this, and there was hardly a whimper about this, Lamont. I hardly heard anything at all about the NAACP bombing. So now, I guess you have to from individual to individual. I guess you have to, you know, determine for yourself which story was more important, the Paris situation or the NAACP situation. I don't know if it had anything to do with the fact that you know, it was the NAACP and it just really wasn't that important. Now, me personally, I think that the Paris story was a bigger story in my own opinion. What do you think?
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly with you. And the particular case of the Paris, the French incident, you clearly had an act of terrorism, all right, which is, like we spoke about earlier, a global threat. You also had lives lost, okay? And the NAACP case, yeah, you had a bomb go off. You had no lives lost. And, you know, how many times are we seeing bombs going off in front of black organizations versus the 50s and the 60s? You know, so when we talk about lone wolves, there are a lot more lone wolf Islamic terrorists out there than there are some white balding guys setting off the bombs in front of, you know, black organizations. But there was one person, one particular person in a media post who said that clearly he thinks that the French story took precedence for the clear fact that black lives still don't matter in the United States of America. So this person was making it a racial thing, obviously, to the point where I don't agree with. I do believe with the rise of ISIS, okay, with the rise of, as you stated earlier, Americans joining ISIS, we should have been clearly focused on what was going on in France because it has its potentials to make its way over here.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I still travel around, you know, I love New York and you know, Times Square, et cetera, and I still go there. I mean, you have to be crazy not to release. In the back of your mind, just a little, I don't know if I'm going to use the word hesitant, but the world is dangerous, period. Let me put it like that. So, you know. But when I go to New York, I don't think like, oh God, somebody's gonna blow the place up, whatever. But you're right, Lamont. There are many opportunities, for the lack of a better word, of lone wolves, taking off and doing something in our country. But you know what? If they're gonna go somewhere else. Don't stay here. You know, go somewhere else. I'm not suggesting you go somewhere else and do something, but, you know, I think the United States, people who live here have been very resilient in regards to terror and allowing terror to control our lives. Many of us just, like myself, we just continue on and we plow on and we don't worry about, to a degree, we don't worry about, you know, things being blown up. But I think you're right that, I agree with you that the Paris situation, as opposed to the NAACP situation, was totally different. I mean, the place was stormed, people were killed, and I believe the police officers were killed as well, Lamont, in the Paris situation.
Yes, that's police correct.
Police officers were killed, as opposed to a IED that blew up outside of the building and no one was hurt and no one was killed. And it was kind of like an after story, I mean, to me. Kind of a, okay, it happened. And, you know, again, the Paris situation was much more dramatic, much more,
urgent.
14, yeah, urgency, absolutely. 12, 14 people passed away, including the couple of police officers. But here's the kicker, Lamont. What I heard now, what I read rather, was that when they had a situation where they were holed up. Two of the people from the original attack were holed up, and someone else took more hostages at a Jewish deli in Paris. And what happened was he informed the police officers not to storm the location near the Charles de Gaulle Airport. The police officer was told not to storm that, and if they did, the second person would kill the hostages in the Jewish deli. And when the police officer stormed that location near the airport, that's exactly what happened. And four hostages were killed at the Jewish deli.
Yes.
In response to the police storming the first location.
Yes, and this all sparks the question. Now, we can go into another question. I was listening to a black radio show before we did ours, by the way, about an hour ago, and some of the comments made on why terrorism is going on in France was extremely interesting, and I radically disagreed with a lot of these comments, because what they were basically saying was, well, in France, there is a population of 8% of Muslims there, but yet there are 60% of the prisons are filled with Muslims. So what they're trying to say is that there is inequality, there is some sort of a backlash against Muslim people in general, and so Muslims react this way. And so in other words, France, they are building these terrorists up because of the inequalities that are put forth against Muslims there. I radically disagree with that because of the story you just mentioned. This was a Jewish deli. What did these Jews inside of this kosher deli have to do with inequality to Muslims? When I look at this, I say this is nothing more than a hatred from these radical Muslims towards Jews, you know, quite possibly linking back to the, you know, the Israeli-Palestinian conflicts and so on and so forth. And when you look at the newspaper outlet that they went in and rampaged and killed, what did the newspaper outlet have to do with inequality? Nothing. They simply saw an image of their prophet there, and so they took their anger out of them on them and did this. So for these black commentators and many of the black callers to call up and try to allude to this idea that France is creating terrorism because of their inequalities, to me is just ludicrous. These people have their own reasons why they're killing innocent people.
You know, Lamont, I think it's ludicrous as well, because you know, it's almost like comparing the Muslims to the plight of black folks in America, where, you know, institutional racism, you know, locking them up, black folks getting shot. I mean, you can't compare the two. You know, you just can't. You know, I alluded to, while I was watching The Last Word with Lawrence O'Donnell and then NBC, and attorney, you know, famed law professor Alan Dershowitz had been a guest on the show on a Thursday night, and they got to this heated exchange, because Alan Dershowitz said on the show that the French give passes to terrorism, that the French don't, you know, that they promote terrorism by, here's what he said. He says that the French, you know, this is what happened. The French do not prosecute terrorists unless they are acting on the French soil. Basically, this is what he said, that the French kind of promote terrorism. And he got into a heated exchange with Lawrence O'Donnell and thought that the statement was ludicrous, and so did I. I mean, I've always respected Alan Dershowitz, very, very smart man. But when he said that I, you know, my eyebrows are raised as much as anyone else's, that he's saying that the French, so in other words, it's the French's fault, because the French only get involved when something is done to the French. But if you do something somewhere else and you pass it through the French countryside, they'll give you a pass because, hey, look, you didn't do it to me. So in other words, the French were playing footsie with terrorists, saying, look, just don't do it here. You know, just whatever you do, just don't do it here, you know.
Well, the thing about Alan Dershowitz, he's a very intelligent man, as you said. However, he's very biased also. When it comes to situations of Israel and Jewish people, they virtually do no wrong. Everything is the terrorist's fault. So I expected that from him. But going back to this statement where there's an inequality that's causing this to happen, the pure nonsense. These people have had the hatred and the brainwashing in their minds and in their hearts, you know, based on activities that are going on around the world, specifically Syria and Iraq, concerning the rise of ISIS. which puts the idea into their heads that you should go out and kill these infidels. If they do something that is contrary to Islam, in the case of the newspaper outlet, the Charlie Hardo drawing of image of the Prophet Muhammad, or a Jewish deli, which are considered to be enemies in their minds, then you go out and you attack them. It wasn't for inequality reasons, and it wasn't because the French wanted them to go in and kill these Jewish people or enter this Jewish deli to commit all type of terroristic acts. They frowned upon that just as much as they frowned upon the newspaper shooting and situation. So that's an answer from a biased person who's only trying to defend Israel and Jewish people, when in fact this is a much bigger than that.
Yeah, but you know, Elie Wiesel, you know, the Nazi hunter, for the lack of a better phrase, who is a very famous Jew, is nothing like Alan Dershowitz. I think Elie Wiesel, when you listen to him talk, he always speaks in measured terms. He's not like a, I guess, radical Jew, you can, for lack of a better word, which what Alan Dershowitz is, because he went on to say that only the good countries, like the bad countries, the countries that promote terrorism, voted for Palestinian statehood. So I guess that means that America supported it. George Bush supported a Palestinian statehood or two-state solution. And so Alan Dershowitz, in other words, was saying that the Paris, in other words, that the Parisians are bringing this on, or the French are bringing this on themselves, because they voted for Palestinian statehood. So that, in other words. So I would just think, again, it's just totally ridiculous. The phone number here, everybody, is 347-426-3214. That's 347-426-3214. Once again, 347-426-3214. It's Ron Kelly Show featuring Lamont Gates, and we're here on blogtalkradio.com. This portion of the Ron Kelly Show featuring Lamont Gates is powered by Davis Integrated Medicine, 973-783-3606. This is the phone number, 973-783-3606. Or you can log on to the website, davisintegratedmedicine.com. That's davisintegratedmedicine.com. Davis Integrated Medicine, live life well. All right, we're talking to everybody this morning about Paris, the Paris bombing. And, Lamont, I guess that's kind of expected. You know, you spoke, and I wish I had heard that. Maybe I can get the podcast, the broadcast that you heard this morning. Probably the open line or something like that. That sounds like something that they would be. That sounds like something that they would be talking about, comparing the situation with the Islamic extremists in Paris to American blacks and the problems that we've been having. It's racism in Paris. I think it's just so ridiculous. I mean, it's almost laughable to compare the two, because there is no comparison, Lamont, in my estimation. We have a caller on the line. Good morning, Ron Kelly Show. Appreciate you, Lamont Gates. How are you? Hello, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well, brother. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
You have a comment?
Yeah, we're talking about the Paris incident and how Islam is being blamed for yet another attack in France.
Yes, and it starts with the ignorance of the most of the world, that they continue to ignore the basics of Islam. Islam itself, the meaning is peace. Salaam alaikum sounds like Islam, because peace is salam and Islam. It's all the same. And the problem is they're ignoring the facts and the basics of Islam, and they're focusing on a very small percentage of Muslims who don't know anything about Islam, and they have never been educated in the Islamic way. They basically teach themselves the Quran, and they only focus on the verses that talk about self-defense, and they misinterpret them. That's what happens. And everybody wants to...
Well, let me ask you something. I'm sorry. Why isn't there a radical Catholicism, radical Buddhism, radical You know, why is it there? Why isn't there a radical fringe? Why is there only a radical fringe element to the Islamic religion, and no other religion on earth, you know, that I'm aware of that practices these type of things? Why is it only Islam?
Is your question, why does only Islam have a radical version, or
why is there only a radical element to Islam, and why, because the Catholics are not running around, you know, killing other people.
I kind of understand your question, but my question to you is, for example, are you saying that there's no such thing as a radical version of the Christianity, or there is?
No, I'm saying why is there a radical element to Islam? Why is Islam the only religion where there's a radical element?
So you're saying there is radicalism in other religions, but why is it being focused on Islam?
Not only that, but why are the Islamic extremists so prevalent, you know, in society today?
I believe that the reason is because it's an easy target, and the Islamic states or the Arabic states around the world are teaming up with the Western countries who are doing this, such as France, England, and the United States, the Islamic governments of Saudi Arabia, and a couple others, especially in the Gulf states. They are using this as a cover. So they're assisting the Americans and the French and the British to do this media portrayal of race, because it covers them up and allows there to be an agreement between them to continue with money and oil. So once the Islamic states are toppled, then there's a big threat of money for the Western countries. So I believe that the Saudi Arabian government is one example of the most powerful and most rich, and with them continuing to help the Americans with this idea that there are Islamic race extremists, they'll be able to stay in power and continue their wealth. So that there's a real threat if Islam was able to somehow become the Islam of 1,000 years ago, then these governments will be toppled and there will be a lot of money lost to the American and French and English governments. That's what I believe.
Lamar.
Now, you're Muslim, obviously, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Now let me ask, to shoot back to Ron's position of how come there's no radical Catholics. Well, years ago, Middle Ages, there were radical Catholics. They held things such as witch hunts, the Inquisition, and so on and so forth, where people would be killed and put in hostage situations if they didn't convert, and so on and so forth. They've evolved past that today. But I think when it comes to, as the caller stated, when you have a version of any religion that is interpreting a religious text a certain way, to the point where they feel that God wants them to go out and kill someone, then you really can't do anything about that section, and it really doesn't speak for the other factions that are not doing it. But as a Muslim, let me ask you this question. There are many people who have the same exact question concerning what they call moderate Muslims. The question is, why aren't there enough moderate Muslims? Because worldwide, there are, you know, Muslims are to make up a vast amount of people worldwide. Why isn't there enough moderate Muslims standing up and speaking out against this and or going after these? Well, I don't want to say, again, I don't want to say that you have to use violence to attack these people, but verbally speaking, why aren't there enough moderate Muslims forming a platform to speak against this, to clearly separate themselves from what these radicals do?
The truth is the truth, and what I have to go back and discuss with you is that the media is doing a very good job in propaganda and making it look that there's a majority of Muslims who happen to be connected to ISIS. But what I'm telling you from an eyewitness standpoint, I've been to the Arab and Muslim countries, we don't bump into these type of things. We bump into a bunch of ignorant people who would never dare to fight or do any type of violence. So we don't bump into these people that we see on TV, the ISIS and all. I've been to Palestine several years. I've been to Jordan. I've been to Lebanon. And we don't see this, that we see on TV. So for us, we don't know where to go to find them. Like, maybe they do exist in Iraq and Syria, but I don't know that many Muslims that want to go to Iraq and Syria right now and get killed. So for you to ask us to do that is like for us asking you to jump off of the Grand Canyon.
Yeah. Oh, no. I don't mean go after them physically. I'm saying just have a
speak
voice
out.
That says
right, speak
these
out.
People
I mean,
are
we,
just,
we do speak yeah. out against them, but I don't know what the media wants us to do. Do you want us to create like some kind of organization that will stop them? Like, I don't know. We've tried so many things. We went out. Our leaders in all parts of America, for example, all parts of Europe, are saying that we condemn them. We do this, and then even the Arab countries that their leadership exists and they're strong and powerful, they're the ones who should be held responsible for condemning them. Why is America not saying, hey, Saudi Arabia, you're our buddies, you're our oil buddies, we get a lot of money from you, we're very good friends, why don't you do something? Because a lot of the terrorism is coming from Saudi Arabia and Al-Qaeda and all that stuff. Why is America asking citizens that have no power to do this when they have a chance to ask governments, such as the Persian governments, who are multi-billionaires, to do this thing? So you also, as the media, should say the same thing. Where are the governments? No, they're not going to do that because they know that America needs the governments and they'll never do that. It's Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, all these countries, the Gulf countries, Jordan. These are the countries that need to do on anything. Fighting, they could bring their armies, they can get assistance to go fight. But that's not, the thing is the media is playing games with you and you're buying into it. And going a little bit back towards what Mr. Kelly said, I was a little confused with the question, but if you're going to sit there and tell me that there's no such thing as radical Catholicism or radical Protestantism, that's incorrect, because in America right here, it exists today, not in the Middle Ages. Here's how it exists today. Look at the African-American people. Look at the Hispanics living in America. They're treated like garbage. They put them in jails all the time. They're in jails left and right. They treat them like garbage. They make sure the system puts them down. That's radicalism of Christianity. Do you see Muslims sitting there and criticize Christians for that? No. That's where I'm getting upset, because there are other religions. You know, all these conservative Republicans and the fake Democrats who call themselves Christian, they're treating blacks and Hispanics worse than anywhere in the world.
Right.
Why
but see,
are you
but the
not
thing,
discussing
right,
that?
But I get that. But see, but there's no religion attached to what's being done to African Americans and Latinos in this country. Hey, look, undocumented.
What do you mean by there's no religion attached? There's no religion attached because,
well, they're not doing it in the name. They're not doing it in the name of any religion. The white folks
are not saying
it.
They're not saying it that it's in the name of any religion, but they're doing it in the name of religion because they call themselves the real Christians, the right Christians. They're not saying this isn't the name, but they go to church and all this stuff. A lot of them are former leaders of their religious communities. It's just that they're not using the word Christianity or Jesus, but
right,
they're not saying it there.
Right, and they're not. And see, the other thing about it too is they're not quoting. You know, like many of these radical Islamic extremists, they quote portions of the Quran in regards to justify what they're doing. Now, with in America, it's mostly political. It's Democrat, Republican. They're not quoting any scripture of the Bible or saying that God says that you should be doing this out of the other. God says kill all the black folks or throw them all in jail or, you know, disrespect them. They're not referring to any religious article, but with the Islamic extremists, they are referring to the Quran. They are picking out parts of the Quran that says, and they're twisting things and saying, well, this is what this is supposed to be, and the Quran says do this, that, or the other. They're directly connecting their actions to the Quran, as opposed to here in America, where it's a lot of it is political, and many, and for the most part, it's about who's got money and who doesn't. That's what it's boiling down to.
I see your point, but I don't believe that it's political. I believe that a majority of, for example, the Republican leaders, they believe that it's a white world and that everybody else is second class. That's what I believe that they believe. Maybe they don't say it outright, but that's what they believe. I mean, it's very obvious that they don't think that Jesus loves others, because they seem to love Jesus, and they seem to think that they're going to be going to a better place when they die, but they don't. It's the fact that they don't use any biblical references or anything like that But it's happened in the past. Maybe they've gotten better at it. I remember in the 100 years ago, the KKK tried to use some biblical references and connect themselves to the Bible and to Jesus, and they used to go ahead. So that's the thing that you have to be careful of, as any African-Americans or Hispanics want to be go side with anybody like that. That's dangerous, because they're the ones who want the destruction of the minorities in this country, and they're just using this media game to get you guys to be pushed away and believing that the bad people are the Muslims. That's what they want. So if you're going to go lie into that, good luck.
Well, yeah, well, that's definitely a whole other topic that can be looked into. But I think in conclusion of this, I think you said the key word, though, when I asked you about where the moderate Muslims are, and you said the media, basically, they're not giving you the proper platform. And I can believe that. I can believe that. If the media constantly wanted to go to CNN or constantly wanted to go to Fox News or constantly wanted to go to MSNBC and say, look, give us a platform, give us a show where we can point out to you, you know, how the moderate Muslims are denouncing what these radicals are doing, and they're being rejected when they ask for that. I can totally see that happening. But in other words, you're saying there are a faction of moderate Muslims that are trying to gain media access, but they're being denied. And, shutting down radical Islamists.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think we lost the call. All right. I think he's back with us. But I, you know what, Lamont? There's an element of African Americans who don't want to, for example, with the black on black crime as opposed to police brutality. There's a element of black folks who just deny. Or, the fact that black people kill each other at a far more alarming rate than does the police officer kill black people. But this black-on-black crime is being ignored, and people are focusing on police brutality instead of black-on-black crime. I think there's an element of Muslims who just really don't want to speak out and say anything. Out of fear that there may be some community backlash or some backlash in the mosque or whatever the case may be. So I think there's an element of Muslims who just are not saying anything, who just are not ever going to say anything. Just like there's an element of black folks who just won't speak out against black on black crime, but have both feet in the door in regards to police brutality. I think that there's just an element of folks who just are not going to say anything. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back to wrap up the show. It's the Ron Kelly Show featuring Lamont Gates, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
The Ron Kelly Show on blogtalkradio.com and on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Oh, no. I'm in charge of our 10-year class reunion and don't know where to begin.
Don't let this happen to you. For your next event, wedding, anniversary, class reunion, or just need to promote your business, Burkett Promotions has you covered.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Over 200 custom-made products USA made, along with personalized imprints and logos.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Burkett Promotions does it all. Big or small, we can fit your budget.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Need your event to stand out with that personalized touch? Pens, pencils, t-shirts? Go to BurkettPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Mention the Ron Kelly Show and receive an additional 10% off an already great price.
Thanks to Burkett Promotions, my event was a success.
BurkettPromotions.com. B-I-R-K-E-T-T Promotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
A business you can trust. A member of the Better Business Bureau, New Jersey. A-plus rating.
Now, back with more of the fastest growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show.
Lamont Gates. Absolutely, yes, indeed. The Ron Kelly Show with Lamont Gates. 347-426-3214 every Sunday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. on a sub-zero Sunday. Just can't get over that. We're discussing the Paris terrorism situation, NAACP versus NAACP, and a whole lot of other things in between. Lamont, just to divert for a second, the New York City Police Department funerals that were held last week. Everybody's mad because they think that the mayor's wife wore jeans. I just can't. I'm like, you know, what is wrong with these people? Just a wacky world that we live in. The New York City Police Department is angry because they think that the mayor's wife wore jeans to the funeral. So what? I'm
looking to point fingers. That's all it is. Just looking to point fingers.
It's just ridiculous. Okay, we got about 5 minutes left to the program. Ron Kelly and, of course, Lamont Gates, John Flavelborn, here this morning, Ron Kelly Show. So as I was saying before we went to break, Lamont, I think there's just an element of folks who are just not going to say anything, basically. They're just not going to say anything out of peer pressure, whatever you want to call it. What do you think?
Well, yes, yeah, so you always have those people. And, I wanted to understand more about this idea that there are moderate Muslims out there that are seeking the media, but the media is just choosing to put forth what they want to put forth. And I understand that, absolutely. That happens in many situations. For example, when you have, in the topic of religion, when you have a Christian who can balance religion with science, you never hear about those people in the media. You always hear about the whack job who says, oh, the earth is 6,000 years old and, you know, God just purposely made everything look old because, or Satan made everything look old because he's trying to trick you. You know, those are the types of people they want to put on. Why? Because it goes back to what we discussed about controversy. You know, controversy sells. Controversy gets ratings. Controversy brings in the sponsors. The sponsors bring in the money. And that brings in the revenue that fills the pockets of these networks and affiliate publications. So I can see that the media wouldn't want to put a level-minded, moderate-minded Muslim on to attack what's going on concerning the radical Islamists. I could totally see his point on that. If that's the case, then perhaps we as Americans need to start speaking out against these networks and saying, look, allow more news, allow more information to be presented to us.
Yeah, you know, I just don't think that, I'll say this. I think that the exploits of these radical Muslims or radical Islamic extremists is being it's probably being more widely reported on than the folks than the moderate Muslims who are speaking out against it. I think I'll agree with that. I don't think that the moderate Muslim voices are being suppressed in the media because the drama of the Islamic extremists brings more ratings. I would say that when the moderate Muslims do speak out, they're, it's not so big a deal as like you said, the Boko Haram taking the 300 girls or the Paris terrorism situation. I would just say that that maybe the moderate Muslim voices are not being promoted as much, Lamont, we got about 90 seconds left. I'd say that they're not being promoted as much as the drama, dramatic situations that are going on, like in Paris and in other places. But as far as like there being a conspiracy to not hear them, not hear the moderate Muslims, that I don't agree with.
So you think that the media is giving us all there is to know concerning the situation of what's going on with radical Islam, also in respect to how moderate Muslims feel?
Yeah, well, the dramatic situations are going to get airplay, a lot more airplay than the moderate Muslims speaking out against these situation.
Yes, and that's the problem. Give us more of these moderate Muslims to let a lot of Americans know that just because you have Muslims living in your neighborhood doesn't mean they're all terrorists. So I could sort of see what he was saying concerning the media not presenting us with enough information.
Yeah, and there's an element of the media that does want folks to think that of Muslims and all Muslims being extremists. I think there is an element, maybe not an overwhelming element, but I think there is an element of the mainstream media that does want to think that yeah, we had about 10 seconds. All right, we got to break, everybody. Thank you so much. Thank you to Mike. Thank you to the person who called. And thank you all for listening today. We'll see you back here next week for another edition, outstanding edition of the Ron Kelly Show, featuring the unflappable one, Lamont Gates. So until everybody, take care. We'll see you back here next week for another edition. So until then, take care of yourself. Remember, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. And we may not have it all together, but together we can have it all. Thank you, Lamont. Thank you, everybody else. And we'll see you back here next week.
Peace.